S for shamanism. During the beginning of this process, I was reading a book by the American philosopher, nature philosopher, David Abram, called Becoming Animal. And his book and his research is not about animal behavior or so, but in terms of mimicry, but how does an animal explore the world? How does it stand in the world? He's a phenomenologist. So how do animals perceive? How do their bodies and their physical wiring relate to the body of the world, or of the earth? So it's a profoundly ecological book in that sense. What I find interesting is that he speaks about language. He says, originally, a long time ago, it's a state that is still there, but we have also lost it somehow through modern culture. The landscape and nature and things, animals, everything was articulate, everything speaks, or everything spoke. This state we have lost through modernity, and through, if we go a bit further back, through the use of abstract language, written language. We have to go far back, but there's a tradition of abstraction, say, that ends perhaps with the internet today, where language is not only displaced from, embodied by a landscape or by a certain locality onto the page and onto the book, but even dislocated in the sense that it's traveling as data all around the world. Now, David Abram is not a conservative in the sense that he wants to go back to a state that we have lost. That's not at all. He wants to account for the complexity of language, to say, okay, he's a writer himself, in a very poetic way he writes. How can we evoke that originary language where everything was articulate and spoke to us, to our bodies also, in this relation between body and earth, so that we can acknowledge this as the underpinning of how we understand language today, also in an abstract sense. And for him, there is an ecological truth in there as well. He says we cannot take care about the earth in times of climate change and so on without restoring the earth, without acknowledging or reinfusing it with narrative. So the figure of the shaman is actually the one who transforms himself into, say, an object or an animal in order to figure out or to call out to the things in their language. Of course, it's a fiction, but it's a fiction that approaches language in the sense of oral cultures. So the language was embodied, it was embedded also in a certain locality. Memories and stories were carried by the ground as a foundation. Now, two further thoughts about this. In the piece, in the opening part of Animal Dances, we work with shamanism, where the dancers, I can say they're all shamans that transform into animals somehow to explore the theater and see what language is lingering there. They explore objects, explore one another, to look for a certain kind of state or a magic spell of a time where everything spoke, where everything was articulate in an implicit sense. So it's been around as a theme in that sense. And it makes me think about dance very much, because the past 10 to 15 years there was a lot of debate around, say, conceptual dance, which speaks for a certain level of abstraction. And for the question whether after centuries of ballet and modern dance, where the dancer had to remain silent, and where the body was treated as mute, as devoid of language, the question was, okay, how can dance emancipate itself through bringing in language and abstraction? Now, I think that luckily we're over that first phase of conceptualism and to go more back to perhaps critical expressionism, where the expression and the language is not coming from the outside but discovered from within, because simply we can face it that all human behavior is language. It consists of learning processes. So the body also carries a lot of discursive materiality. And dance as an art form can acknowledge that. Even without speaking on stage, it's a very articulate, language-ridden art form.